Troy, thanks so much for joining Yahoo Finance. If you would ask my 12-year-old self if I would be talking to Troy Aikman from my kitchen in 2021 about a beer launch, I would say, you're out of your mind. You're out of your mind.
Well, if you'd asked me 3 years ago about if I would ever be doing a beer launch, I might have said you were out of your mind as well. So we're on equal footing.
Fair enough. Listen, there's a lot of big beer players out there. You know them, I'm sure, quite well. We have Budweiser, we have Coors, and probably 10 other names that I can't even think of right now. Why are you taking on big beer?
Yeah, well, you're right. There's over 8,000 breweries across America, and the space that we've entered is as competitive as any of them. So, I you know, the thing for me is I've always been a beer drinker. I love beer. And when I looked at the category, I just felt that it could be better. I thought that, you know, what's available has been on the market for a long time. I think it was time for a newcomer. And quite simply, I felt that we could do it better, and I think that we have. So that was really the motivation behind getting behind this project.
How long does it take you to create something? Whether it's from the packaging, the beer itself, how long did it take to develop this 8 lager?
It took us about 2 years, maybe a little bit over that when all things, you know, that came into that as far as formulating the recipe for the beer, coming up with the branding and how exactly we wanted things to look. It's been a lot of work. I'm really proud of my team. You know, our tagline is basically no shortcuts, no excuses. And we approached it like that. We didn't take any shortcuts with anything that we did. We were all in, a lot of hard work, and real proud of the final product and how it turned out. I love the packaging, and more importantly, I love the beer.
Yeah, I'm sure. You know, those are two, taglines I'm gonna have to borrow from my Twitter account. I very much agree with that. Where's it gonna be? Where are you distributing it?
Well, we're launching in Texas. We have statewide coverage, which has been awesome. We've gone and met with a bunch of retail partners and then distributor brand partners, and everyone has been really overly excited about this. I think they view it a lot like we do, that it was time for a newcomer in that category. But we're going to launch strictly in Texas. That'll happen at the beginning of 2022, very early on. The resets will happen, of course, in the spring. And we plan to be on a lot of shelves. But before then, we'll be in restaurants and bars, and we'll be pouring. So I think statewide coverage, we hope to eventually move beyond Texas. But if we stayed strictly in Texas, obviously, it's a great state, and it's a great beer state. We could do just fine.
Sounds like, just listening to you, sound very much involved with developing this, not just, hey, you're putting your name, Troy Aikman, on a beer and hoping to sell a few cases. Take us through that process.
Yeah, 100%. You know, so going back to further along the lines of why exactly I got into it, I've been a lifelong athlete, as you can imagine, and even after I retired. And as I've gotten older, I've become more and more aware and conscious of my health and wellness. And yet I still believe that life's moments and victories are to be celebrated. And I think when you get around family and friends, you beer plays an important role in those relationships. And I didn't like really what was available. And like I said earlier, I thought that we could do it better. It's an all malt beer. We have no adjuncts, meaning we have no corn, we have no sugars, we have no corn syrup, we have no rice, we have organic grains. And so from that standpoint, we feel really, really good about it. We feel that it's an option that fits my lifestyle. And there's a lot of people like me that are very conscious of what they're putting into their bodies. They work hard during the week. And when it's those times to celebrate, you don't want to compromise all the hard work that you put in throughout the week. And so that was really what brought this together. And yes, I've been involved from day one, extremely involved. It's not just an endorsement for me. I've done those. I've done those with some brands, and that's fine. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. But this is something that I'm very passionate about and have been very much involved, and I'm all in. Beyond my broadcasting, obviously, this is a really busy time for me in the fall with the NFL season. But whatever free time I've had, I've been all in on this and looking forward to the launch. And then I'll be winding down my NFL season and we'll be able to devote all my attention to this.
No, and you certainly have an aura around your portfolio and how you invested in the past. I mean, I've read stories about you bought an auto mall, you sold it, you invested a lot of money in Wingstop ahead of the IPO, made a killing. I mean, how are you spotting some of these good business opportunities?
Well, you know what? It's interesting because the Wingstop opportunity came about initially as just an endorsement when I just retired. And it was, and I said, hey, I want to do it. I don't care what they're offering. I really believe in the brand. I used to take my offensive linemen there to Wingstop on Thursdays as a chance to bond over beer and wings. Mm-hmm. And so I got involved, and one thing led to another. I became a board member. I invested in the company, and then it went public. And it was so really what brought me to that was just a belief in the company and what it meant to me personally. The car business, I'd gotten into the car business initially when I was playing. And then I got out, I sold my interest to a partner, but I always felt that I would get back into the car business. And I ultimately did. And I think the motivation for me is I like getting up each day and feeling like there's something to go do and something to go accomplish. And I've always wanted something that went beyond the walls of football. So I obviously made my name and my career was with the Dallas Cowboys and playing quarterback in the NFL. But I've always wanted to get involved in other things and kind of expand, I guess, my resume, if you will. And so that's what's led me to get involved with some various companies and on the investment side. And it's been fun. And I've been fortunate that I've been surrounded by a lot of really good people. The success that I had as a player is not unlike the success that I've had away from the field in business. And you surround yourself with really talented people that work hard and take no shortcuts. And you've got you give yourself a chance to have a lot of success.
No, that's well said. I mean, there does look to be a component too. You are investing in what you know, wings, beer. These are things that you have identified with in the past.
Yeah. And I've learned in my younger days, I think we all do. I think all business people kind of learn what works for them or what their lane is. And I've learned that in order for anything to be successful, first of all, you have to be passionate about it. So that's criteria number one. And then secondly, you've got to have good people. And I've learned over the years that I've seen some great technologies. I'm sure you have as well. And if you don't have the right people that can execute it, it just doesn't work. So I bet on people as much as I bet on anything, and then things that I'm passionate about. And those things have generally been very, very successful. And it's why I feel so good about the launch of 8 Elite Lager. I love my partners. I love the work that we've put in. And I love what we're putting out there with the product.
Do you counsel any of the new players coming into the league? Because if I read your stories, and when this story eventually hits, I'm giving Troy Aikman a call. I'm sending you a tweet because I want to know how you did this stuff.
Well, I do hear from some people from time to time, some of the younger players. I'll tell you what my advice generally is for young players, especially today's players, because the amount of money that they're making is a lot. And if they just take care of that, they're in a pretty good position then for the rest of their lives. So first of all, protect the money that you make now. Realize that this isn't going to last forever. The other part of that is these athletes get an opportunity to meet a lot of influential people that can really help them, could open a lot of doors for them, could answer a lot of questions for them, and just serve as mentors. And so I always encourage them, when you go to some of these events and you come in contact with some people who can really help you and serve in a role of mentorship, be sure and drop them a note, stay in contact with them, thank them for their time. And, you know, not many people get entree to some of the people that athletes or people of celebrity get an opportunity to. And it's important, I think, in order to cultivate that and make those relationships work.
Who has mentored you throughout the years?
Well, there's a gentleman, not famous, at least not famous around the country. He's famous to me, a guy by the name of Carl Westcott, who had a lot of car dealerships. He started his own communications company, was quite successful. He started 1-800-Flowers, and he's been a very, very dear friend of mine and someone who I've learned a great deal from. He's taken the time to teach me a lot of stuff, and I bounce almost everything off of him before I invest in anything.
Gosh, I have spent large sums of money on 1-800-Flowers through years. Just thinking about it. I'm not a player. I'm wearing the Cowboys colors here right now because you're on with me, and I like the color blue, but what is it like to be a player in the NFL right now, given everything we're seeing with the pandemic?
It's really just an uncertain time. What we're experiencing in everyday life is what they're experiencing as well within the walls of their buildings, and not knowing who's going to be available and what the team may or may not look like on any given week. And it's just really hit hard here in the last couple of weeks, as we know, just as we hit kind of the meat and potatoes of our schedule heading down the stretch of December and then into the postseason. So I think these teams, it's incumbent on them just to be, you know, light-footed and flexible and be able to adjust to whatever they have to. It's not easy to do. And we're seeing a lot of good football teams that become pretty mediocre with the number of players that aren't able to play.
Is there any talk or anything of bowl games being postponed or even the Super Bowl, just given everything that's going on?
I think the one thing that we've seen from the NFL is initially they were not going to reschedule any of the games. And we've already seen that they've been willing to do that. And I think the bottom line is the owners are determined to get these games played. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of revenue that's lost if they don't play a football game. So I think they're trying to be as accommodating and adjust as well. But it's the Wild West out there. I mean, no one's really quite sure what this is going to look like as we move through the remainder of the season.
You know, just two more for you. How do you think the pandemic has changed sports more broadly?
It's a good question. I think it's changed just from the uncertainty. In a lot of ways, it's dealt with like you would deal with injuries, but it's even tougher than injuries, because if you get out of a game and a player is healthy, you assume then that he's going to be able to play the following game. Now it's from one day to the next. It's just anybody's guess as to who might be affected and who might not. So it has affected the landscape of sports. There's no doubt about that. We've all witnessed that. And like the rest of America and the rest of the world, I'm just hopeful that we can get through this just as quickly as possible.
Absolutely. And last but not least, there are some rumblings that you might be leaving Fox, Troy, for Amazon. Any update on that? You know, I've been watching you for the past, 20 years on Fox.
You know, I've had an amazing job for 21 years. Can't believe that I've been doing it this long. And Joe Buck has been my broadcast partner for the last 20 years. And so I love my time with Fox. I love the people that I work with. There are conversations. I don't know what that might look like. I don't know how it's going to shake out. I've heard the same. I think there'll probably be some clarity here within the next month or so, maybe even sooner. But wherever I land, I'm just thankful to have a job and be doing what I do, because to leave the game of football and then to continue to have the lifestyle that I've been able to have and raise two girls and broadcast each and every week has been amazing. So I'd hate to leave Fox. I love my time with Fox and all the people that I work with, but I really am uncertain as to how this may unfold.
Well, I can tell you from a viewer standpoint, it's been a joy following you all these years. First as a fan, watching you play when I was in school and now on Fox. Just really wish you all the best in your career, your new beer launch. Definitely looking forward to staying in touch, and we appreciate you coming on with us.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. Really appreciate it.
Appreciate it.